The following message is from Crown Reformed Assembly.
So, in between, we also had Easter celebration. So, we had our Resurrection Sunday meeting and all that. So, we had to do a necessary break in transmission. And we hope we'll be able to resume the transmission today and also end it today. And as a church, when we're looking at this very topic, we took it in a somewhat, should I use the word, systematic manner. So the first thing that we did was that we talked about the men. I remember the message was, man, prove thyself. We took a look at what the scriptures said. David to Solomon on his deathbed, his charge to him and what it means for us as children of God, as men who will stand before God to speak, and who have also give account to our Maker, and who also, as God has given us the gift, will go to find a wife for ourselves to fulfill God's command in marriage. And the next thing we did after that, we looked at from the sisters, we said, will you what? Take this man. Here we studied the story of Rebecca and Isaac and how God providentially picked out Rebecca as Isaac's wife, and how we could deduce from, in faithfulness, to deduce from the stories what we needed to do as sisters in God's family, and where we needed to not just position ourselves, but the things that we also need to watch out for as we go into dating and into courtship. Now, it's easy for the married to say, oh, this is stuff for the little ones, and switch off. But please do not switch off, because we that are married also have kids. So it's something that we need to look at. If we see where we may have failed, not every one of us was born again as at the time we got married. Not every one of us was born again as at the time, or even knew the truth of the scriptures, or were mature to the point of where we are. Some of us never really heard some of the things that we are hearing today in the ways that we are hearing about it. So for us that are married, it is to learn, so that in our own children and in our own descendants or in our own grandchildren, the things that we have missed, God has given an opportunity for us to set the record straight. So we talk about dating and courtship. We've talked about the two elements of the people included in this particular thing called dating and courtship. But before we talk about it, let's first note, there's nothing like dating. You won't see the word dating in the Bible. You won't see the word courtship in the Bible. You will see betrothal. Right? Very well. In fact, the one you will see in the Bible, the girl doesn't have a choice. The ladies, Mba, is the father that will decide for you. In fact, it was even worse. Sometimes, even in the Old Testament, if anyone are looking at this Bible reading challenge that we are looking at, we will see instances where the wife was a prize for somebody that fought a war. Very good example, David. David's first wife was a prize, Saul's daughter. Right? Caleb, son of Jephunne, when he went to conquer the lands that God had promised him, he said, of his people, and his people, on his tribe, said, this is Judah, it's from Judah now, yes. He said, anybody that conquers these guys, I will give what? My daughter as a wife, as a bride. I like that girl. When the guy conquered and they gave the lady as a bride, he said, man, we can't just take this land. This land is too small. I'll ask my daddy to give me more. They give me the springs. I said, okay, fine. And my daughter, I'll give you the upper and the lower lands, the springs of those lower lands. Awesome stuff. We're not talking about that today. So when we look at the Bible, how the Bible is written, there is the descriptive and there's the prescriptive. So if we look at, and it's not all of the descriptive that we can take, slam, bam, and say this is what we should do. All right? Case in point, last time that we talked about dating and courtship here, we're talking about camels. And the guy, Abraham's servant, was waiting at the gate of Haran. And Rebecca came and said, feed, and she did all our camels. I mean, somebody's going to do camels. We don't have camels here now. So if you come and say, the sister, you must be able to fetch water. Fetching water is not a prerequisite. So that would mean that we're taking a descriptive passage and trying to what? Read ourselves into it. Read our culture into it. We are trying to allegorize. And this is very popular everywhere, especially in our culture. Why? We see, I remember I was in a much younger. Somebody was preaching and he was reading Isaiah. And I said, woe is me if I am undone. Let us pray. We are undone. Let us pray that the woe will not come upon us. And people were sclavashing. So when we are talking about dating and courtship, even when you look and you listen to a lot of the dating and courtship, quote and unquote, ministers, and the people that talk about relationships in many of the churches, a lot of it is allegory. A lot of them is taking descriptive passages and trying to slam it into our culture. And we want to try as much as possible not to do that. We want to be able to be faithful to the text. And in this case, where, unlike the other two preachings where we had specific texts that we're actually looking at almost line by line, this will not be so much so expositionary. But we will stay faithful to what God has said in his word and the rules that he has laid down in these matters. So like when the Bible says, study to show thyself approved of God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's not just in the knowing and in the quoting of the scriptures. It's in what? The what? Rightly, right division. Bible says what? Strong meat is of them who what? By reason of what? Use of exercise, have their what? Senses able to discern between what? Good and what? Evil. So it is a skill. So if a brother or a sister comes and say, this one is spirit coco, this is the person that we will go to. Look at his decision-making process. You would see whether indeed he is a baby or is even a charlatan. It will be clear. So we've done all of this over the course. We've built all this up over the course of our teaching. So let's not go over it too much. So another thing that we must state today, if, should I use the word if, or you, okay, so if is not used as if it's a condition or a probability, it's used as if it's a fact. So permit me in this premise. If in any way you despise, you are offended, you are frustrated, you do not like to look at life's issues within the glasses or within the lens of the scriptures and how God would have you look at it, then whatever I say today and whatever we've said in the last 3 weeks is just a load of beautiful nonsense. It will come in here and it will go out there. And I tell you the truth, like Jesus says, about the parable of the sower, I think, when he said the seed that fell, and I think on not too good ground, I got some roots. Is that the one that cares of this life or this place of riches? There's one that Jesus said, when the world was tested, right, the person fell away, it didn't last. So the truth about it is that these things that we are saying, very soon, make no mistake, this courting and dating that we are talking about in the month of April 2022, it is not happenstance. It has been written by God's supernatural, providential mercy that we would have these teachings. And when we do see these things every day in scriptures, and when we sit down and we listen to God's word, know for certain that it will be tested. know for a certainty that the word that you have heard, you will be put to test on it. And know for certainty that you must choose before the test comes whether you will what? Align or not. Whether you will obey or not. Or whether it will be said of you that in the day of adversity, your strength was small. So we must look at everything within the lens of scripture. This thing, I cannot see. What I see here are just lines, black lines. But the moment I look at this, through this, they make sense. Right? A lot of us use glasses here. So we understand what it is to look into the lens of scripture. The scriptures will be our plumb line. It will be what? Our standard by which we should live by. So what is this thing about dating and courtship? First, we must separate it from the world's view. If not, believe me, you don't need to listen to this sermon. Linda Ikeji can help you. Stella Dimikokos can help you. Who are those guys? Those are the reigning ones. Kemi Feliani can help you, right? Uh-huh. All the soft sell blogs in Nigeria can help you. If I don't have to go that far, not just okay, that you can listen and download music, can help you. You don't really need to listen to the scriptures. If you are looking for advice on dating, on relationship, boom. Ask men, you will hear. Everything is filled with it. It's humongous. Massive. There's so much. There are so many voices in this world with respect to this thing. And it is for a reason. So, first, we must separate ourselves from the world's view. If we do not do that, then we are setting ourselves up for failure. And the world's view about dating and courtship is not strange to us. So, number one, we are not serial daters. Let me use this Yoruba expression. You don't do a ije, yoje. You are not trying. It's not a matter of chance. You are not rolling a dice. You don't sit down in your house. God forgive us of our youth. And now say, there are 10 sisters in church. Yeah, let's try. One after the other. I'm not going to say things that are outside of the possibility, the probabilities, or the things that as teenagers, maybe some of us would have done. We are not serial daters. The world says, dating, I beg. Start. You can date as what many people as like. In fact, you can what? Double date. Such that one can be the mugu. One can be the yahoo boy. One can be something else. In fact, you compartmentalize it. Nigerian men will store mechanic names from the different interests that they have, so that no one will be able to what? Decode the other. Sally Suva organizer. For what? The world teaches us to be ingenious about these things. There are series that you can watch that teach you how to get away with these kind of things. In fact, there are reality TV shows that you can swap partners for 90 days. What do you want to do? You want to be sure that you are in the right partner. What aren't rubbish? We're not serial daters. Number one, we do not date for the sole purpose of any form of sexual immorality, financial inclusion or financial exclusion, anything outside of what God has intended, we do not do. There are people who know that they do not come from means, and all they do is that we have to look for the brothers or the sisters that can what? Take care of my what? Financial troubles. And it's that mindset that we see in our society where we hear of what? The hookup culture. It's not far. Many times I hear of news. It says a lady was murdered, a lady was this, a lady was that. And sometimes I raise it up amongst my colleagues. Why does this thing keep happening? And they say, boss, you would be shocked that this lady was actually promised X amount of naira. And she left the security of her home to what? Mess up. Like we've read, the house of the adulteress, also the adulterer, is the gateway to hell. We read it just before we started. So the Bible is not a lie. Dating and courtship is only heterosexual. According to the scriptures, it is not man and man going for dates. We don't any form of LGBTQIA XXX, whatever the thing, dot dot dot, etc. etc. Mba, wipe it out of the window. Courtship. We do not date or court animals. We do not date or court dogs. We do not date or court the same sex. We do not identify as anything else but what we have been created as, either male. In fact, there's nothing like identification. We are male or we are female. God created them what? Male and female. These things are not far from us. They surround us. We'll see a Bob Risky posting on Instagram that he went to a date with a man. Such madness. There are other people coming up like him too. We do not date, we do not court in that manner. Number one, one man, one woman. Not one man, multiple women. No. Not multiple women, one man. No. Not one woman, many men. No. Not boys and girls. It's intentional though. It's man and woman I'm calling about here. Not boys and girls. We know what happened recently, right? Over the course of the Easter weekend. We've all heard about it. Not boys and girls. So for we that are parents, we must what? Draw lines for our children. We must set boundaries for them that they must not cross. Sometimes I think J.R.R. Tolkien takes some lines from the scriptures. I just think, I'm not saying he does. So if we've watched Lord of the Rings now, remember when Gandalf stood in front of that demon stuff and hit his thing and said, "You shall not pass," Abby. Fine. I was reading somewhere in Job. The Bible says that he sets the limits of the oceans. And he says, "Well, you shall not what?" When I read it, I thought about it. Sorry, but I just had to say it. We must set the limits for our children. It is the limits that you set for your children, that your children take when they come young adults into the dating and courtship and into marriage. You must set those limits for them. Don't let the world set, because the world doesn't set limits. So we that are men, we that are women, we that are mothers, and we that will be mothers and fathers, it is our responsibility to set the limits. And make sure, not just set it, ensure that what? They do not pass. Be your own child control officer. If you work in the financial system, you would know. Think of the risk, mitigate it. Cut down the excesses, but you must do. We must also run. Dating and courtship is a time where we find out if we have in the other party a Christ-loving life partner. Simple. So some may say it's this, some may say it's that. But we that are Christians, we that love the Lord, looking at it in the lens of the scriptures, it is not for fun. It is not to catch crews. You understand? It's not to catch crews. Oh, may I just catch these crews? Nothing. ASU is on strike. I mean, what the heck? What am I doing at home? Make I just what? Let's just move. No. Courtship and dating has one destination: marriage. The world, dating, and all courtship have one destination: premarital sex. So let's not fudge the issue. There is a big chasm between what the Bible has demanded of us and what the world tells us. And if we do not bury ourselves in what the scriptures have said and work directly to make sure that we align with God's word and God's way, make no mistake, you will fall the way of the world. And it will be a rapid descent to levels that you would never conceive that you, when you look back, say, how far have I fallen? You'll be shocked. So let's look at these things that the Lord has put. It's not going to be an exhaustive preaching. It's not going to be an exhaustive teaching. We can't exhaust it, even in 45 minutes, even if we're doing it for 3 or 6 months. But let's just look at a little of these things. Then I pray that in your heart you will go back, like the Bereans, read, confirm that these things are true, and what? Run with it. It is not just read, there is action in this matter. So let's look at it within the lens of the scriptures. What does the scripture say about our purity with respect to the opposite sex? With respect to our relationships with our brothers and sisters within the fold of Christianity. With respect also to those who are what? Going towards marriage. Make no mistake, marriage is a gift of God, but also celibacy warns people that will never get married is also a gift from God. But one, the marriage gift is much more pronounced than the other. Either way, the rules apply. So there's not a certain rule for them that God has given a gift not to get married, to stay alone. There is no different set of rules than those to whom God has given the gift that they burn with passion. So number one, the number one rule we must know, we can see it in Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Number one rule. If you do not have, if you are not saved, if you are not walking in God's love, if you do not love the Lord to the extent and to the extremes that Jesus Christ himself has set for us as the standard of those who are called his children, you will miss it. If your life's goal and purpose is not that you would please the Lord, you will miss it. And it's not just for one person in the relationship. So, don't go and say, don't worry, me, I am the word, spirit, cocoa one. When we were younger, it was, such foolishness. You say, man, I don't want any spirit, cocoa sister. No. Well, every small thing, we'll be praying and binding and casting. No. I want, let me be the spirit, cocoa man. Let the sister be the one that is what? Flamboyant. Sometimes it's the other way. We're like, a friend of mine, One day was telling me in the office, that she has joined this special prayer session, prayer thing. It's called the Praying Wives Club. And it started in their church. So at least they know that we, our wives, will be praying and praying for our husbands. We'll be praying for them. And I said, and I said, what would the husband be doing? That's how we're going to make money. My work is to pray. Let him go and be making the money. Me, I'll be praying. Me will be the, I'll be the person. I'm a bearer. I said, We laughed. I was like, right. If I start now, she's nobody have started. Leave me alone. Me, I want to be praying. See, I shouldn't be praying for my husband. But no, it is not for one side of the divide to love the Lord with all his heart, soul, might, and strength. We can't even unpack this passage. Love the Lord your God with all, no exceptions. There are no exceptions to the rule. There are no places if you tell God, don't go there. We must run. The first step every Christian must make is the step of faith we take towards our Lord and Savior. We must faithfully follow him. We are Christians. We want Christian homes. When we sing the hymn, Lord, give us Christian homes. You think where the Bible is loved and taught, the other guy is thinking of what you are thinking of God. You cannot love and teach the Bible to your children, even to yourselves. And we sing the song well, Lord, give us Christian homes. I'm a teenager. We'll sing it. We didn't even like God in the first instance, but we wanted Christians home. This is not wishful thinking, my brothers and sisters. It is. We must love the Lord our God with all our heart. We must obey this commandment. So, what is the greatest commandment? What is the chief commandment? That was the question that was put to Jesus. And what did our Lord say? Hear what? O Israel, Abi. We too. Are we not in the commonwealth of Israel? Abi? We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. Abi? We say all these things, but what? What is our defining rule? The one command that God demands of you, we must do as Christians. In different places also in Christ's ministry, and we see it all over the scriptures, we see where this commandment also is given to us in types and in shadows for us to be able to deduce that this is the principle of all things. Even when Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10 that whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And the thing about this then, if we cannot love God, if we do not love God, there is no way we will love. If our love is not first vertical to God, we cannot love our fellow human being. Impossible, because what will enter? Strife will enter. Jealousy would come. Anger would come. Hatred would come. It doesn't matter. We cannot love our spouses. We cannot love the men, the man or the woman that we're in a relationship with if we do not first love God. That is number one. Our life's goal must be to what? Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. There's this myth that goes around in within the church, especially in Nigeria, that if you are doing too much spirit, it's called spirit that time. Yes, I remember. If you are doing too much spirit, no brother or no sister will come to you. Right, we don't want somebody that will be praying 12 hours a day, those kind of things. Scam. So, what does that tell you? Lower your standards. Some of the arguments we hear, you know, it's very good. Sometimes we don't understand that when we hear an argument, the argument is put up there for you to draw a rhetoric conclusion. Well, I used to rhetoric questions, Abby. We've never heard of the concept of rhetoric conclusions, but that's what the arguments, many of the arguments that the devil puts up there. He puts it up there. We think about it. And in our minds, because how we are wired, we reach rhetoric conclusions. So that when after you fall on it, they'll say, ah, did I tell you to do it? Have you ever heard of those kind of things? Then somebody tells you, advises you wrongly. And you do something, and you fail, or something happens. And the person says, no, I didn't say that you should do this. I gave you what? Advice. And I left the decision to what? You. Standard psychiatry and psychology. So they will leave it to what? Rhetoric conclusions. So we see some of these things that we see all the arguments about dating and courtship and relationships. We must be careful that we do not lead ourselves and our minds toward evil rhetoric what? Conclusions. Second rule we must run. Second rule number two. Do not. It's not like I'm saying these are five rules for this room, but I mentioned it before that it's a non-exhaustive list, but please let us just look at a few. You do not date an unbeliever. It is one bar that you must not cross. It's not just for us Christians, even for what? The Jews. That's what? Have given us this salvation. Bible says that what? Salvation is what? From the Jews, Abby. The Jews that have given us this salvation are expressly commanded never to take someone that was not also a Jew. In fact, the penalty was what? Capital. It was what? A death sentence. Now that we have received this great salvation, the Lord has said, do not be what? Unequally yoked with what? Unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Rhetoric conclusion, none. Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Rhetoric answer, none. What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? We are not the same. Therefore, we will not date. Unfortunately, in my life, I know a couple of people who used to go to church. Note, I don't call them Christians. Used to go to church and they fell head over heels for an unbeliever. And they married. It's interesting because when the unbeliever speaks, I say, madam, that church, no more. Here is where we go now. Crying too late. Why did God tell the children of Israel, do not marry the Canaanites? Do not marry the Gentile people. Even if somebody wanted to be what? Married. The person had to what? Be what? A proselyte. They had to convert to Judaism. And it wasn't an easy thing to do. It wasn't a one-day thing. It wasn't somebody that will come and give an altar call. The guy will say, ah, so that this girl, let me just be able to marry her. I'll now go and do an altar call. Mba! It was rigorous. Remember when Jesus was chiding the disciples, I mean the Pharisees? He said, you go to great lengths to win what? A Gentile convert. Although them, they had messed up and done all sorts to that process. Jesus was rebuking the Pharisees at that time. He says, yet you make him twice a son of hell. That's what Jesus told the Pharisees at the time when he was here, rebuking the Pharisees for what? Corrupting the process of conversion to Judaism. It wasn't beans. So that now we see people like Bathsheba marrying what? Uriah. But it wasn't said Uriah the Jew. He was still called what? Uriah the what? The Hittite. We still see this lady in Jericho. What's her name again? Rahab. She's still called what? A prostitute. So even then, there was still a super assimilation within what the Judaic system of the for the Gentiles. The law was clear: do not marry one that is not a Jew. That law stems to us today. We shall not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Under no circumstance. We do not consider it. That is one bar that would not be crossed. See. Why? Because it will weaken your relationship with God. Forget it. Either by compulsion or by the wiles and the compromises that you would make in the name of what you call love, you will turn away from God. There is a difference, and the Bible makes it clear, of a couple who were once, so you're already married though, not because you're not married though, you were not saved, and God by his mercy saves one. Right? God, the Bible is clear about that. But you that you have not yet married, you are dating somebody, you are dating Elijah. No matter how. It doesn't matter the kind of panache, her brain, how she talks, how she relates. It doesn't matter. All those things pale outside of what? God's truth and God's law. Third, let's run. I've already been giving my marching orders. Do not have a relationship, do not date or do not court outside the purview of godly counsel of other Christians, friends, mentors, parents. See, there is this thing that they say when you are in your relationship, what? Keep it what? Private. Don't tell anybody what? About it, right? We know now, we hear about these things. And what happens? We are making moves and we are not telling people. You can't tell your pastors. My brother, you will make a wrong move. You will now come and tell pastor, one or two things. No more one or two things. No more. We don't want. So, do not hide your relationships in the darkness. Don't shroud it in secrecy. Because my brother and my sister, you will not see the thing that others are seeing. You will not see the thing that what? Your parents or your pastors are seeing. Or your mentors are saying, this is godly counsel. Please note, there is distinction. Godly counsel. In the multitude of counsel, there's what? There is safety. You don't know, but it's a third party that sees how your partner or your spouse, person you're in a relationship, looks at you when you're turned your back. They hear the things that the other party says about you. You don't hear it. They are your better investigators. Eh? You want CIA to check out that person. Please, because you must check out the individual, both male and female. Talk. Don't hide it from your parents because you think your parents will. Some of us raise our children saying, don't go and bring Igbo boy to this house. Or Benin person, anybody who don't bring a Benin person, don't bring somebody from the north. We parents, God have mercy on us. We tell our children to disregard people on the basis of what? Ethnicity. Because in this country, everything is around racial and ethnic lines or geopolitical lines. My late father-in-law, of course, they won't tell you as the guy now when you go to the house. It's later you hear of the story. I told her his daughter, bring, align yourself. If it's not Egba. But she had limitations. And this one Calabar boy came on this. Where are you from? Yet it was this particular thing, godly counsel, that got me through the door. So not just to we that are in relationship, also to parents. Don't becloud your mind. There is no longer Jew or Greek, Scythian, slave or free. I hope we know. But don't hide it. It's when you hide it, that's when you'll be doing ishekushe. That's when you'll be doing things up and down. Because you're already comfortable with secrecy, what? You won't tell anybody now. And what the eyes doesn't see, the ears don't hear, what the heart doesn't grieve about. But my brothers and sisters, what? Be open to one another. Let they that are strong bear the burdens and the scruples of them that are weak. Seek godly counsel. Don't carry your relationship. Don't get relationship advice from a player. One that is not. You now say, this guy, because he has dated like 7 or 8 people, he's not even born again. You now say, this guy go no as idiot. Come back and meet and say, guy, I found at the level. And the person will now give you trash. Let the word of God dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness to God in our hearts. Let us consider to stir up one another to love and to what? Good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all as the more you see the day approaching. Hebrews chapter 10. It's not just about church attendance. So. Just don't miss it. It's not just about church attendance. Four, right? Set boundaries even before you start thinking about dating. So this is where the parents come in, and this is where you as the individual come in. As a parent, like we've said earlier, help your children to set the boundaries. Sink into their mind. Set it by conversation. Set it in prayer. Let them hear. Let them hear the prayers that you pray for them and for their future spouses. Set it. Don't shy away from that responsibility. Set it for them. Set boundaries on the gadgets and the information that they can assimilate. Try as much as possible as a parent to make your children innocent of evil. It will save them. Yes, let them call you a Jew. Let them call you that this guy, JJC, don't know. Yes, be proud. Wear it as a badge. I am innocent of evil. Like Daniel, he must be resolved not to what? Go the way of the world. We must be resolved in our hearts. Sin is an inside job. We're going to talk about the anatomy of sin, Abby. Sin is an inside job. James says something. that when we are tempted, we should not say that we are tempted of the Lord. No. But what? We are tempted when we are drawn away by our what? By our what? Desires. When we are drawn away by our desires, what? We are enticed. And after that, we fall into sin. And the wages of sin, like we know, is death. So sin is an inside job. You want to overcome it, you don't want to fall, make up your mind. Before you even come across, make up your mind. So when the Bible says, my children, if you hear my voice, do not what? Harden your hearts. Like we said, I've said it before here. That thing is not because it precludes that you must have made a decision prior to the hearing to know what? Lock up. Because the more you lock up and you keep on hearing the truth of God's word, what happens is that you become more dull of hearing. So as we are reading our Bible study challenge, we read the five books of Moses, the Pentateuch, and we're reading the historical books, we see where God is talking about. These people are all dull of hearing. In the prophet, you see where God talking about children, they are dull of hearing. What does that mean? They are hearing, they are locking up, saying, this one, you just talk your own. And what happens? The word of God becomes like what? Rain on a corrugated iron sheet. It bounces off. When he says, do not harden your heart, it's a plea. It's not a plea that he should, it's a plea that you have must respond to. It's an inside job. So first, you must determine in your mind. Set it in your heart. Set your face like a flint. I say, this thing, umba. I will not fail the Lord in this thing. We read today. That's your people will forgive you if you go and thief, say you're hungry. Abi, we read it in Proverbs today. But the shame that will come along with what? A mistake and the perpetual marriage mistake. The perpetual pain, suffering that you inflict not on yourself, but also upon your generation. It's not beans. It's not beans. What comes out of a man is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a man's heart that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. So says our Lord. Mark 17:20-23. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you abstain from what? Sexual immorality. That each one of you know how to control his own body in what? Holiness and what? Honor. See, the responsibility is pushed back to you. You learn it. You decide it. You determine it in your mind. Not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one transgress or wrong his brother in this matter. Because the Lord is an avenger in all these things. As we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you, for God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, from verse 3 to 8. Thus, sinning against your brothers and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. 1 Corinthians 8:12. Let's not kid ourselves. This is serious stuff. Finally, I've gone way past my time. But last thing we should think about and we should learn, or we should consider when we look into the eyes through the lens of what the scripture tells us, how we should be and live in our relationship with others. Have a conscious awareness that our Lord, our omniscient Lord, our omnipresent Lord, is indeed omnipresent. Many times we forget that God is everywhere. He sees all that you do. Even the secret place. When we read that portion of scripture, it says, I'm beautifully and wonderfully made. It says, Bible says, your eyes saw my what? In what parts? When I was what? Crafted within what? The depths of the earth. We read everywhere in the scripture where God says, nothing is hidden from me. It's not a joke. Nobody may see you. Nothing is hidden from God. Having that knowledge that God indeed is omnipresent, He's everywhere, He sees everything. What we would not want to see, a lot of times, when we are doing Q&A, especially for dating and courtship, 90% of all of the questions that you will get is that it tries to have questions that are framed in such a way that you want to know the limits or the boundaries to which you can go to do stuff. How far is too far? Too far where? Where are you going? You know now, in fact, if we say let's do a service, or maybe even Bible study, and let's take questions, we can't dissect it. We just need to want to know how far to the precipice do we get until we can draw a line. I'm not going to talk about all that. You're smart people. But look at it. If our God is omnipresent, if He is everywhere, would you do anything that would not please Him? When David was scheming as what? Master strategist. Scheming with what? Joab. With respect to Uriah. Arranging letters, sending them, giving instructions, putting him in where the battle is thickest. Making sure Joab made stupid decisions in battle just so that they could get the man killed. So that it would be a cover-up. Endangering other lives of other Israelites also. Other people too died. Did they think God was watching? No. But indeed, God was watching. And He sent a prophet to rebuke David. God watches us. God sees us. So if God sees us, why would we want to do anything that would not be able to what? Stand boldly in His presence and proclaim. Whatever we would not do with Jesus watching is best that we avoid altogether. The Bible calls that awareness the fear of the Lord. When the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, it gives you sense. Jesus is watching me. Oh, okay. There are some things I should not do. You what? Realign your steps. That's where it starts. Practical ways. When we keep away from evil, we keep away from evil when we develop the fear of the Lord, because we do not want to what? Sin in His presence. By steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for. And by the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. One who is wise and cautious turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and what? Careless. In our daily lives, as we navigate these murky waters, for the sisters, is this man a man? Is this guy, does he just have beards, fine, have lovely muscles? Is it that because he's earning a salary, he has a business, because he has money? Does that hide the flaws? Is he a man of justice? Is he a man who loves the Lord? Whose life goal and purpose is to please God? Is he a man of mercy and loving kindness? Is she a woman of grace? Is she a woman of faith? Is she a woman who finds work in her hands to do? All of these things, ponder it in your heart. I'm not going to come here and tell you rhymes of how things are done. No, this is not the place for it. But all of these things will save each and every one of us from the smooth tongue of the word adulterer, of the one who would lead us astray. We close with Proverbs chapter 6 from verse 20 to 24. My son, keep your father's commandment. Forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you are awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is the lamp, and the teaching is the light. And the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. To preserve you from the evil woman, you can also put man. From the smooth tongue of what? The adulteress, you can also put the adulterer. Let it not be said of us, like how the Lord spoke to about the children of Israel, that they went warring after other nations. In this matter of love, in this matter of relationships, may we do all that we can in prayers and in work to please our God. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Crown Reformed Assembly, a Bible Center church in Ogba, Lagos. To know more about us, please visit our website at www.crownreformed.org.